Your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 as we begin a brand new series that really deals with vision. It's our tradition that in June we give time to just reflect on where the church is, what God's doing, what God's saying to us, and where we're going, and just exploring the vision of SBC. And we'll talk a little more about this as I get into the talk, but we focus on our local sphere, which is the sphere of Stirling and the church centre. We think about what we're doing in terms regionally, out with beyond Stirling in the different districts, and then we think about beyond, out into the world, and what's going on in terms of the world. And we've just had a team back from Chole, and in a couple of weeks' time they're going to be taking that service. And just sharing their experiences in terms of Cho as we think about our beyond. But this morning we're going to focus a little bit on the local and what God's doing in the centre. And the vision in terms of the local is that there are just some things that are better together. That isn't political, by the way, okay? And too much. Anyway, the elements that we have is things like worship. It's better together. It's better to come together with a whole bunch of people and sing together and praise God. That's brilliant. Impacting a community is better together because as a single resource, you can impact in terms of social action much more effectively than single individuals. And youth is a particularly important area to do together because, again, I mean, and one of the great things, and there are some people come specifically to SBC for this reason, is that especially if you've got teenagers, but also younger children now, and they go along to church and there's one or two kids there, it's kind of hard to keep them there. Whereas if they come along and there's 30, 40 kids being completely unruly, and then there's an energy and an invitation for folks to come. So I want to just get Joe to come up and share a little bit in terms of some of the stuff that we're doing in youth and what's going on.
Morning, church. Thanks, Alistair, for the chance to share a little bit. There is so much going on in the life of this church locally. I mean, Bill touched on some of those things in his intercessory prayer, and I'm just going to share one little small aspect of that this morning. And as part of the wider youth team, we obviously are involved in working with our young people within the church through YF and various programs, and we're heading to Soul Survivor again in the summer. But one of the things that we have got involved in is mentoring within two of our local schools, in Stirling High and in Allens Primary. So we are just about to finish our first year involved in through Transforming Lives for Good, the organisation we have partnered with. We're 1 year in to starting to make a difference. It takes 3 years for something to become really embedded, okay? So, you know, We're not completely sorted on where we want to be with this just yet. And anybody who knows me knows that I quite like to dream quite big. So we are just starting out with this very much. But I heard a kind of stat I've heard it twice in the last kind of year, and it's this: 1 million children are growing up in the UK without a father figure. And by father figure, we mean a positive male role model who they have a relationship with and see twice a year. And we've been privileged this year to work with a number of boys, actually, across both Stirling High and Allens Primary. And I asked one of our mentors, and I asked one of the deputies at Stirling High to give a little quote and to share what they have found the difference to be. So this is from Leslie Allen, who's one of the deputies at Stirling High School, and she has said, "We're coming to the end of the first year of mentoring in Stirling High, and for two pupils in particular, it has made a huge difference. Both pupils have high levels of anxiety due to either very challenging home circumstances or their own health. Having a mentor to speak with them once a week has helped them pull back from very poor attendance to over 95% in recent months. At the start of the session, we'd identified young people with social, emotional, and behavioural difficulties, but as the year went on, we learned that the programme benefited young people with mental health issues such as low self-esteem and anxiety. We're delighted that the programme is going to be expanded to more of our young people. And we've been working primarily with young people who are in S2 in that early stage. So before the pressures really kick in, before they've made those big subject choices, before they've really started to I guess, make these choices patterns in their lives. And then Sharon Potter, who many of you will know, has been involved in mentoring in Allen's Primary. Both herself and Dawn Williamson, another lady who will be well known within this church, have both been mentoring two brothers, actually, in the primary school. And Sharon had just shared this. Once a week, he and I look forward to our one-to-one time. We've had fun making cakes, presents for mum, artwork, played games, and created a papier-mâché bird. While enjoying the making section of our time, we have a chance to talk about his life and how school is going. After the making time, we can sit and spend concentrated time on looking at ways to help and encourage him in his school and home life. I believe the one-to-one time has encouraged him and helped him to turn those negative actions into positive ones in school and at home. And the family all came to Messy Church and really enjoyed it. And for Rob and I and for the wider staff team here, that's what we want to create. We want to create pathways for people. We don't want this to just be something that we go and do in isolation in the school or in our prisons or wherever we're going in and working. We want this to be about being able to help create pathways for people in. And the Haven running the Messy Church has been a great opportunity for Dawn and Sharon to be able to invite and allow those families to come in. We're hoping that as we build those links more with Stirling High and with the young people there, that we can start to see some of these young people come to maybe our youth week in the summer, start to come to drop in on a Thursday, so that we really are being the hands and feet of God within this community. And I know this is just one little thing that we're doing in the life of this church. It's not the only thing that we're doing to reach out into schools. It's one part of it. But I'd encourage you and I'd really ask for your prayers in this. I'd really ask for your prayers for those who are mentoring. And we have a training evening coming up tomorrow and Thursday. So if you're prompted this morning to think, you know, I would really like to give up 1 hour a week during term time to make a difference in the lives of a young person, please don't hesitate to get in touch and we can get you on that training program. Thanks.
Thanks. That's brilliant. Just to mention the Transforming Lives for Good program, it's TLG for short, particularly Joe and Rob, they've been making an enormous impact just in terms of doing that in various schools. And Joe has actually won an award and this year of Mentor of the Year for the whole of the UK in terms of the Transforming Lives for Good programs. So just congratulations, Joe. I don't think we've recognized that, but really well done. You know, one of the things that we've always said about SBC, and we did this 20 years ago when we started to ask the question, how do we evaluate what success looks like? What is affirmation? And we defined that our impact in terms of social action was actually what the community, or part of it, was what the community says about us. And that they say SBC makes a difference in terms of our community and our world. And it's brilliant, and it might surprise you the number of things that are said by members of the community about SBC and about some of the significant ministries that we do. And this is particularly true in terms of the work that we're doing in relation to youth and in the schools and things. Making a real difference, making a tangible difference. One of the things that I sometimes find interesting in church is that we don't take long enough to just thank God for all that's happening in terms of SBC and all that God's doing. Sometimes I have conversations with people and you feel like we're just about to close the doors. You know that sense of, well, we're about, and actually, it is so far from the truth. I mean, and just in terms of this year, the significant things that we've seen in terms of growth, we've been talking about the impact in youth. We launched a brand new service for families, and I think that must be You'll need to push it, thanks. That we've launched a brand new service, and I'm told I was away that weekend, but there was over 95 folks here, and many of them from unchurched backgrounds coming along, part of our connected networks in terms of what we have in family life, in terms of what we're doing in mentoring, coming along to the church. And this is something that's ongoing that we're going to be developing and continuing with. We saw exciting outreaches into the centre with our artist in resident, Hannah, in terms of Christmas, and just being able to put a sort of Jesus presence back into Christmas and the commerce. We saw in Easter where we had teams going out and meeting people and chatting with people in the Marches Centre and interacting with them. We've seen significant growth in terms of what's happening in the Haven. I had a meeting with some of the Haven team months ago, and they were saying there are over 53 identifiable people who have started to come to SBC through the work of the Haven. 53 people, that's amazing. Now, you've got to understand that these things have been done on the background of the Scottish Church Census that we were showing you last week, which is basically showing large-scale decline in Christianity within Scotland. And basically, SBC is at least not giving into that trend, if not bucking that trend in various areas. We've seen it in youth. We've seen it in folks exploring their faith in various ways. And so we've seen a dynamic impact, and you'll hear more about it over the next couple of weeks, in terms of the life of the church going on week in, week out. But you also have something of the faithful service of our members. Thanks, Bill, for your prayers, because I thought Bill captured that so effectively in terms of those who faithfully minister faithfully doing the work of God. And we have dozens, if not hundreds, of people within our church doing this. We have this in terms of the various ministries of the church, from worship to pastoral care to small groups to children's work to Lifeway. And then we have all those numerous ministries that were being delineated in Bill's prayer that are out there as people go out into the community to begin to minister and make a difference in terms of people's lives. I mean, it's amazing in terms of when you begin to add it up, what the impact of that is on people's lives. I remember a couple of years ago, I used to always prepare my sermon in a coffee shop. And I'd be sitting there in the coffee shop, and I would get to talking to the girls that worked there. And sometimes on their break, they'd come over and they'd chat to me and we'd talk. And one of them started to say, explain to me about church. How does it work? And I kind of said that, she was interested in where does church get its money from? That was really the starting question. And then I began to talk about church, and her face was just amazed. I mean, the idea that people give up their time to come to church was itself, but then give up their time to volunteer and engage and work. And she was just amazing. And I think we lose sight of how amazing it is, the work that the church does. I saw something, I think it was posted by Oasis or Steve Chalk, just in terms of the amount, something like quarter of all the work, or three quarters rather, of all the work that's being done in terms of families in our communities in the UK is now being done through church-based agencies. I mean, that's phenomenal, amazing in terms of what is going on. But the other thing that always amazes me in terms of SBC is the resources. And again, it's something, and you'll hear we do have challenges in terms of resources, but it is amazing in terms of the way that we've seen SBC resourced over the years. I still get blown away by the Cho thing. I know some people have different views on Cho, but I got taken in by Tearfund this year, and Tearfund said, come and tell us how you're doing this. Because we are amazed at how much money you're raising in terms of Cho and Just Christmas. And I was like, I wish I knew. And because I sat and think, yeah, wow, people grasp hold of this and they give. And especially in Scottish context, when people give, you know, you've touched their hearts because you've touched their wallets. And but it is amazing. And even this year, We saw the response in terms of the resources, but that's just in one sphere of many spheres that are going on. And so, and You know, when I begin to do this, and I love it because when I start the vision series, I start to sit down and say, so what can I thank God for? And I just run out of space as I begin to write the things down in terms of what God's doing and in terms of how God's working through the lives of the people within this church and how God is touching and transforming lives. It's amazing, and it's something we should be so thankful for because it is not the experience of so many churches. I was speaking to someone this week who decided to play hooky last week and go to another church. And I don't know why they did that, but anyway, we'll pray for them. And they said, you know, the experience was just so lifeless and just such a sense. So something to thank God for in terms of what he's doing. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't big challenges that SBC are facing. And, you know, as we come to this vision series, possibly we've got some of the biggest challenges we've had in a long time as we consider some of the things that are going on. Our hope was that we would see a whole bunch of ministries go self-sustaining. A few years back, we began to look at all the different things that we were doing in terms of community impact and things and the Haven and calendar and began to say, you know, these things have to go self-sustaining. Because you know, in order for the church to carry on, but not only in order for the church to develop, we needed to release these things to be self-sustaining, but also for those ministries to go on and develop and grow. Because that was what our heart was for all of these ministries, that they should continue to grow and expand and develop. And some of it has been really exciting. One of the great things that should be celebrated is calendar, so I'm informed by the treasurer, has gone self-sustaining. So it's not costing the SBC any money in terms of what's happening over in calendar. And that's really exciting. It's really good as well when we can go to the BU and say, hey, guys, you know how you helped us out? You need to know that that has now borne fruit and it's self-sustaining. Unfortunately, in terms of some of the other areas, whether that's been chaplaincy or whether that's been Family Life Center and some of the challenges we're facing in terms of the funding at the Haven, we haven't seen the level of self-sustainingness that we need to see. We've our partners in these various ministries have also struggled, and we've had the disappointing news just in the last few weeks that the Bethany has to drop out of the partnership with us, essentially because they just can't afford to continue with that partnership, and so dropping back from it. And again, that's very frustrating and disappointing. And it creates issues for us because it asks us the question, what next? and what is God saying to us in the midst of this? And it also creates a degree of insecurity. And people don't like insecurity. Hopefully, and whatever we pray for next week, just pray for stable government, all right? Whatever that looks like. But you know, because transitions create a sense of insecurity, and they also create a sense of confusion sometimes. There's lack of clarity, and that's why we don't like transitions, and this has created some issues in terms of transitions for us in terms of our social impact, social action impact, and what we're doing, but more importantly, asking the question, what is God saying? Whenever you're in these sort of scenarios, you have to come back to what God has said to you. I remember hearing Brian Suter, the director of Stagecoach UK, talk once. He's a committed Christian. And his company had ran into a bit of problems. And he said, you know, whenever you find yourself lost, go back to that point where you knew where you were and start from there. And that's always good advice. And so it's important, and that's why we do these weeks in June, that remind ourselves of what is the vision. And a few years back, we spent time, it was in 2011-12 again, we spent almost a year doing this. I was looking back over some of the notes, again, as I was preparing this, and defining what is the vision, what is God calling us to do, and we felt that God was speaking to us in terms of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. SBC is called to be a spirit-filled and empowered witnessing community. That's what we are called to be. And we felt that we asked the question then, how are we going to do this? And we felt that the statements about Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the end of the earth was actually a strategy as well, where we felt God was saying that we should work locally in terms of SBC and what we're doing here in our ministries. We need to develop something regionally in the areas around us, and we needed to work beyond in the wider world, and that threefold distinction. And that was our vision of how we continue to work in these things. But this was not to be a human endeavor or organization, because if it was, it was going to fail. It had to be something that was empowered by the Spirit. You see, Jesus made that promise in Acts chapters 1-8 that the Holy Spirit has to come upon you, and that these things have to be driven by the Spirit of God. Because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. We see that in Acts chapter 2. That's what's happening. The church is receiving power as the Holy Spirit descends on them, and they are being empowered to be witnesses, to demonstrate what that means. The word witness there is this idea of giving testimony. This is what has happened. If you read on into Acts 2, you'll see Peter gives a sermon and explains this is what has happened. But it also is related to the word martyr. And it means to faithfully demonstrate. So it's not just a verbal proclamation, but it's a tangible demonstration of the work of God's Spirit through the people of God. And so in Acts chapter 1, we're reading of the promise, and then in Acts chapter 2, we're seeing the demonstration of that. This relates back in the sermon. Peter relates it back to Joel chapter 2. And in Joel chapter 2, we see this vision of restoration, this vision of God restoring his people and his community. If you read it literalistically, you'll take one interpretation of that passage. But what Peter does in chapter 2, or Acts chapter 2, is he explains that the fulfillment of that is in terms of a spiritual fulfillment. That the restoration of the people of God, that the restoration of that which has been taken, is actually a spiritual restoration that comes through the Spirit and the formation of the church. And that it is in these things that we see the realization of the words of Joel chapter 2. Just as an aside, it's always very important to work out whether your passages should be read literally or metaphorically or spiritually. It's always an important distinction. There was an early church father, a guy called Origen, who ended up castrating himself because he literally read the words of Jesus, that if something causes you to sin, cut it off. And I'll tell you, that's a serious exegetical mistake, okay? So you always have to ask yourself that. And what we're seeing in Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of this Old Testament promise being realized as the Spirit is poured out and working through the church. We see that as the Spirit of God takes hold of individuals, that the followers of Jesus are drawn further into Christ by the work of the Spirit, but they're also going further out through the work of the Spirit. So there's this dual thing where the Spirit of God comes to transform us as individuals and then creates this witness and draws and pushes us out into the world. So some people would like a spirituality that's kind of like me and God. I've talked a lot about this over the last few weeks, where it's just about the Spirit working in my life, in my wee corner, and it never actually gets demonstrated in any tangible way. But we see that the Spirit of God is given in Acts 1 and Acts 2 in order that we will be empowered witnesses, in order that we will be drawn further in order to be pushed further out into the communities to bring the transforming work of God, inviting others to join and to encounter Jesus' love and to respond in him. And so this is something that the Spirit of God does. One of the exciting things about the Spirit of God is he adapts in terms of the context. Sometimes people see Christianity and they see theology and various other things as received tradition. So you get a series of ideas and they're passed down from generation to generation to generation, unchanging. And people like that, especially in periods of transition. But in Baptist tradition, we have a much more dynamic understanding of what happens. You have the Bible and you have the context. And so you've got this interaction between the situation we find ourselves in and we have the Word of God. But we also believe in a third element, which is the Spirit of God. So it's not just a matter of taking the Bible and applying it like some dead letter, but it's actually saying, Holy Spirit, come and help us understand how we apply these things in the particular context that you have called us to in this particular situation. And what that means is that the way that God chooses to work in the church today is not going to be the way that God chose to work at the time of Luther. The church is going to be different because the Holy Spirit will take the Bible and apply it in terms of our context in a different way, in a different situation. And so as a community of God's people, we have to be open to the work of God's Spirit as we attempt to adapt to the context. However, many of us find that process of adaptation really difficult. Most of us like things to be really regular. I'm a real traditionalist at heart. You'll notice that I sit in the same place every Sunday. I've been doing it now forever. And you know what happens if I move? I sit in another bit of the church, I get a cold sweat. It's like, well, what's happening? Oh, I don't like this. Don't feel the work of the Spirit today. And it's just because, you know, the traditions and the things that we are used to have become the definition that we think is the work of God. But sometimes the work of God comes and the Spirit of God comes and he does a new thing. And we need to adapt. And I don't know about you, but I hate adapting. I met a friend. We hadn't met for 30 years and we met up. And we caught up in 30 years. It was like Forrest Gump in reverse, you know. Suddenly we did it our lives, 30 years. And suddenly you go through and you discuss all these phases of adaptation. And then, you know, getting married, having babies, raising kids, building your career, going through the empty nest thing, looking forward to retirement. You know, you start to go through it all. And you just think, wow, one, where's it all gone? But two, look at all this adaptation. You know, change is really difficult. I was having a conversation with someone and they were saying, my children are about to leave home. I don't know how sad they were about that. But you know, yeah, suddenly your children leave and you've got to adapt. And you've got to deal with change. And we hate it when things are fluid like that. We hate it when things are adapting and we have to make transitions. And you know something? It happens in the life of a church as well. Churches have different periods and they have periods of transition. I fundamentally believe that we're kind of in a period of transition in terms of the situation that we now find ourselves in, particularly in terms of social, as we consider social impact. You know, we people may not have realized it, although we have tried to communicate it in various ways, but there are new structures in place. And that the way the church is structured and operating, particularly in terms of its staff team, is different and new. And that's a transition for us. And we're all kind of working that out and seeing how that happens. It's also impacted in terms of our leadership structures. But the other period of transition that's happening is that the question is, what's our engagement with the community look like? What is God saying to us as we face these issues with the various agencies that we are looking to impact our community and the transitions that we're going through? We have a strapline, bringing people into vital relationship with Jesus. And Rab's applied this very stringently up at the Haven in terms of what they're doing. And they evaluate everything that they're doing in terms of that criteria. And it's an important criteria. And we're being asked, what is God saying to us in terms of what it means to bring people into vital relationship with Christ through our community? You know, I loved the fact that a few weeks ago, some of the staff said, you know, we've got a marathon. I went in and it was like, oh, disruption to services, pain in the neck. And the other staff said, no, this is an opportunity. You know, let's reach out to everybody in terms of the marathon. Let's make it great. Let's just use it. And you know, and I know after that day, people's perception of church and Christianity was changed just because we went out in the streets and handed out free teas and coffees and chatted to people and interacted. And the church did something different. And then we see moving people towards a relationship with Christ just in terms of what we're doing. So we're now in a period of transition, and we have to ask some questions in terms of what we're doing in the locality. We have to ask ourselves, how are we to bring people into vital relationship in terms of our local outreach-based ministries? How are we to do that? How are we going to resource it? How are we going to find the resources to develop the ministries that we feel called to play? What's that going to look like as we go forward? And how are we going to do that so that the things that God has called us to continue to grow and develop and we continue to see community impact? And lastly, what part have I to play in it? You see, the work of the Spirit means that it's about the church and God working through us. And this isn't about some organization. It isn't about some professional individuals. It's actually about the Spirit of God working in us. And we have to work out together what God is calling us to be in this period of transition. And then we have to work out how you tangibly engage with what God is calling us to do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that your Spirit is at work, and I just pray that as a community of your people that you would empower us and that you would enable us to be an effective witness. Lord, I pray for us in this time of transition, and I ask for your direction, for your clarity, and for a sense of what you are calling us to. So, Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.